B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
The Eagles lose to the Rams. They are 0-2. There is that stat out there. The teams that start 0-2 only make the playoffs 23% of the time. But we're putting the cart before the horse. Let's see if they can pull it back together. And what's wrong with this team? And for that, we go to the man who watches every play, analyzes every play. He's the great Ron Jaworski. He's on our Comcast Business Hotline, Beyond Fast. Jaws, let's start with the quarterback, shall we?
All right.
All right. In your review of the film, how did he grade out to you?
Mediocre at best. You can't win football games unless your quarterback plays well. Unfortunately, you know, this is a back-to-back game now where Carson has not been sharp. And, you know, I'm a big believer that accuracy is probably the most overlooked aspect of the quarterback position. And if you don't have repetitive accuracy, it's hard in this league. I mean, it's hard. And right now, he is struggling with that accuracy. And there's a clock in your head as a quarterback that you just feel. And in year five of his career, no one's questioning his talent, his ability. The timing just isn't right. I mean, it's not like, you know, hold on a ball for 2 seconds. I'm talking about tenths of a second, Mike. Get rid of the ball. Get it out of your hand. Pre-snap read. As you're dropping back, know where to go with the football. Get it out of your hand and then throw the football accurately. Right now, he's struggling with that.
You know, there's an interesting stat that I stumbled across. This year, he has made 20 off-target throws, which is the most in the NFL. 15 of those throws have come from inside a clean pocket, which means not pressure, not under duress. So has he lost his touch?
Well, I mean, I think touch and accuracy are two different things. I think touch passing. I mean, there were throws in the game yesterday that he has made. He's made, you know, he's made throughout his 4 years here. We've seen him make the throws. I don't know if mentally he's pressing, doesn't have that confidence in this receiving core, but I mean, you know, to play to Goddard up the sideline, you know, I mean, that he can make that throw. Why he doesn't make it there, you know, all of a sudden, you know, you feel a little pressure, the elbow's a little tight, but those are throws he can make. You know, the throw to Arcega Whiteside, the big interception, he's way with that throw. It's that simple. Yeah, the cornerback makes a nice play, but that ball's got to be out of your hand. It's too far up the field. It's just those little timing things that are off kilter right now, and he's got to correct them, or this thing's going to go downhill fast.
So he threw that one too late, Arcega Whiteside.
Absolutely. Late. No questions late. That ball's got to be out of his hand. He's coming out of that break, and it was not. It was too far up the field in that area of the field.
What do they do now? I mean, I don't know what this, you know, you hear the people, they're really impatient right now with this quarterback. And we're going down an avenue today. See, I had this theory about the drafting of Jalen Hurts. You may or may not agree. But I want to ask you, as a guy who had a guy behind you that maybe the crowd was looking to replace you, and you had to be mentally strong to get over that, do you believe that the presence of Jalen Hurts and the whole thing that he may eventually take over has gotten into his head?
Well, it certainly could, and I lived that situation, Mike.
I know you did.
When Randall Cunningham.
That's why I asked you. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I lived that, and, you know, hey, I still remember draft day, and, oh, Eagles take Randall Cunningham in the second round. Okay, the clock is ticking. I mean, you know that, so you know you have to raise your level of game, and there's an added amount of pressure. I mean, this is 4 years after I'm the league MVP and the highest paid player in the NFL, all of a sudden they draft a quarterback, and you know, everyone has a shelf life, and you begin to feel that, and you feel that pressure, and there is, you know, I can't say to what degree Carson feels the pressure, but he's aware of it. And no matter what you say, coaches say, fans say, you feel that pressure, because you don't take a guy in the second round, you know, and you're going to get all the story. Come on, you know, we all get it, you know, at this point where, oh no, we're just building our football team. We want to get the best available and all, you know, all that media stuff. But you know, as a player, because I lived it, Mike, you know, the minute you struggle a little bit, you're going to start hearing it from the fans. You start hearing it from the coaches in the meeting room. You start seeing a little giddy up in the guy that wants your your job? You know, all those things start to filter in to your thinking. And clearly, you know, I believe that has an effect on him.
How old were you when they drafted Cunningham?
Let's see, that was 1984, so I was 33.
Okay, you were a 33-year-old quarterback. Yep. Now, this guy is a 27-year-old quarterback. Now, when they draft him, you're suggesting, and I'm agreeing with you, that it is disconcerting that they would take a quarterback in the second round. So who's at fault? The Eagles for doing it, or Carson for not being able to say, oh, I'm strong enough, who cares?
Yeah, it's a hard one to answer because I think, you know, the Eagles as an administration, you know, from Howie to Doug to everyone else, you know, you do everything you can to make your team better. You also have to understand the psyche of the quarterback, you know, that you have. You know, do you feel he could deal with it? Can he handle that pressure? You know, obviously it looks like Aaron Rodgers is handling it pretty well this year. You know, he's not impacted by the Packers taking a quarterback in the first round and come out and lit it up for two games. Not impacted by it, but everyone's fabricated and psyche is a little bit different. You know, I'm not down there. I'm not with Carson. The guy's still very talented. I have unbelievable respect for him. But at the end of the day, you have to perform. And the performance hasn't been there in two games.
All right, so let's look at the defense. And I'm going to bring this back to Carson in a little bit because I'm watching Jared Goff and I'm watching the motion that they run out of. They always got motion going. They roll them out of the pocket. They do a lot of things to free up guys, open receivers, and it looks like a sophisticated offensive attack. And Goff looks like he's climbed ahead of Wentz. He's loose. He's got athleticism. He can thrive in those kind of situations. The other guy has seemed to got tighter. Do you see that? And secondly, why isn't the Eagles offense exploiting defenses like McVay is with Goff?
Yeah, there are obviously two different styles of offense. You know, with the Rams, I'm watching the Dallas game last week, and they're running the same play. So this would have been no surprise to the Eagles of what Sean McVay's offense is with Jared Goff. That I'll bet their playbook probably has 12 plays in it. I mean, they shift their personnel, they give you different looks, but it's all window dressing, and they run the same plays. They're very repetitive in the plays they run, but they run them very efficiently. And, you know, he got on that corner so many times, I kept saying, where is the Eagles' defense? I mean, where's the pressure on this quarterback? And, you know, going through the tape, I mean, Goff was with no pressure, and there was no pressure. The defensive line did not show up. He was 16 of 17 for 230 yards and two touchdowns. Perfect quarterback rating. So if you give Jared Goff time, he's going to pick you apart. And his historically, his problem has been with people in his face. He was mediocre under pressure, 4-10 for 40%, 37 yards, a sack, and a quarterback rating of 84.2. So this is a game the Eagles knew they had to pressure Goff. They've beaten them twice before when they've got pressure on him. They did not get pressure. This is the highest paid defensive line in the National Football League. And when Goff walked off the field, they had a nice clean jersey.
All right, so more of the defensive line in activity, but not a bad job by Schwartz, because I saw a lot of isolating on linebackers, that linebackers were late to cover tight ends. I saw some easy slants to Cooper Kupp. How good a job did the defensive coordinator do?
He didn't do a good job. Obviously, when you get shredded like they got shredded by Jared Goff and his receiving corps, there were a lot of receivers running open. There are a lot of mistakes made by the linebackers and secondary players. There were guys peering in the backfield when he should have worried about their coverage. And that's what happens when you play a lot of man-to-man, which they've kind of assimilated into this season, at least through two games. You know, more man-to-man coverage. But when you're running misdirection, and they ran the ball, Mike, you know, 39 times. 40 times last week in Dallas. So you play the Rams, you worry yourself about Goff and those receivers, and they will slam the ball at the line of scrimmage, and they will make you move. And the defensive line did not do a good job in this game.
Ron, let's face facts here. The Eagles don't look like a very good team right now. And now they're staring down the gauntlet. All right, Cincinnati, okay, they should win that game, but who knows? And then at San Fran, at Pitt, the Ravens. If they're 1-5, they're cooked.
man.
What do you see? With the, are they not a very good team, or do they have the talent to bounce back here?
No, they're not. They're not a very good football team right now. I mean, you know, you look at that game yesterday. That was not, you know, forget about Washington. That was an abysmal performance against a team that you know, they should have handily won by 3 touchdowns. They didn't. You know, you look at this Rams team. Yeah, they're better than they were last year. This is not a world beating team. They're not a great defensive team. By the way, the offensive line did a phenomenal job against the Rams front four and their blitzes. And Aaron Donald was invisible, which was, you got to tip your hat to the Eagles' O-line. They were phenomenal in the football game. But clearly, you look at this team 0-2. I never expected them to be 0-2. I thought this team coming in like Dallas said, they were to compete to win the NFC East and, you know, go deep into the playoffs and maybe even onto the Super Bowl. But they have played uninspired football right now. And, you know, I don't know if it's 2020, the crazy year that it's been, the lack of offseason workouts, the lack of training camp, the lack of preseason game, but this team is lacking energy right now, and they better get it going quicker. It's going to be a long, long season.
All right, with this goal, I don't know how they can get it going.
I agree with you, Mike. You know what? It's easy to say, oh, it's the Bengals coming in, and they play 2 pretty tough games right now, and they got a young quarterback, Joe Burrow. It looks pretty darn good.
Yeah, he looks kind of fearless so far.
Yeah.
All right, Ron. Thanks, man. That's good stuff. And of course, the Ron Jaworski show coming up on Wednesday, and we all look forward to that. We'll talk to you.
You got it. Thanks, Mike.
All right, Ron Jaworski on the Comcast Business Hotline, Beyond Fast.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.